In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, those of you that were here Wednesday are going to hear somewhat a familiar story, but hopefully you take a little more from it. And as I said Wednesday, I think it's even more appropriate today with the readings that we have. I was told a story a long time ago that has stuck with me, and I want to relay that to you. I think about it every Lent. It could appropriately be called a tale of two men. Let's get into it. So the story goes like this. There once was a wise old man who was greatly loved and saintly. He was born to a loving family, knew joy throughout his life, married well and had a loving wife, went on to have loving children, faithful in everything that he did, well-liked everywhere he went. As he would go through his daily routines, he would go into town and he would see another man, always at the corner of his vision, always on the outskirts of society, poorly dressed, poorly kept, always seemingly angry. And one day, this man sees the other man walk up to a dog and kick it as hard as he can, sent it flying, greatly injuring the dog. He saw this kind of behavior repeatedly with this young man. He would jump out and terrify people in the alleyways. Just not a nice person. He was always mean, always miserable. And then one day, the man didn't see him anymore. So the first man, the saintly man, finally comes to the end of his life. He's surrounded by his family and his friends. They're mourning his passing, and he finds it to be a joyous occasion. And when he finally passes, he goes up to heaven. And as he's looking around, he sees the young man that was always so mean, the young man that kicked the dog and did all these terrible things. He sees him in heaven. Sees him wearing a crown of glory. And he's confused. So he asks God, why is this man here? What I know of him, he was mean. He was a terrible person. He never did anything good. And God says to him, well, my son, the simple answer is, it is because it is my will that he is here. But since you have asked honestly, I'll tell you. You were born to a loving family whose parents supported you in all that you did. You wanted for nothing. He, on the day of his birth, had his father leave. As he grew older, his mom abused him and used him to her advantage in every way. He was never supported, he was never encouraged, and he was never taken care of. You, who grew up and went to college and had great schooling, never had to worry about any of this. He was kicked out of his house at 13 to live on the streets, to find what he could for food, to find what he could for clothing, to make his own way. You, who knew victory and peace and success in most all that you did, are here. He, that never knew anything but defeat, never knew anything but hatred, never knew anything but rage, is here. You were always happy. He learned that his happiness came from abusing and minimizing others. Doesn't sound like someone you want in heaven, does it? Doesn't sound like someone that should be there. But God continues on. And he says, I want to show you a day from his life. And he goes through and he sees through the young man's eyes. He feels through the young man's feelings. And he's wearing tattered clothing. He's dirty. He's hungry. He's hurting. He's sick. And he comes up to a dog. And he stops. And he wants very much to kick that dog. But see, there's a change going on in him. And he bends down and he pets the dog and walks away. And God says, in that one instant, that man whose nature has always been to hate, always been to hurt, always been to torture, always been to do all of these things, denied himself, picked up his cross, and began to follow me. The reason that you no longer saw the young man in town doing the things that he always did was because he tried desperately to clean himself up. He found better clothes. He found a low-paying job. He involved himself in a church. His life began to change. You were successful and had no need of this. He had a low-paying job, and the most important thing to him was my word. He used every cent that he had and bought tracts, and because it had such a profound effect on his life, he would take those tracts out to anyone that he saw and begin to talk. You mostly passed on my words with people that were like you. He goes through and he shows him the end of life. He says, you were surrounded by family and friends. You were greatly loved. You passed away, and you came to me, my son. But this other man died in a hovel, pestilence ridden and dirty. No one around him, clutching the thing that meant the most in his life to him, the thing that brought him joy, and the thing that he clung to, which was my word. Now, it's funny, I heard that story, and honestly, many of us go through and we want to be the wretch, right? We want to think of ourselves as the person that's had a very tough life. I can't put myself in that man's shoes. Yeah, I've had difficulty. I've struggled. I'm not the guy that kicked the dog all the time, though. I'm not the guy that has to constantly fight his feelings towards humanity because I've known only hatred. I find myself, as much as I want to think of myself as saintly and wise and everything else, I find myself really somewhere in the middle. Some days I am that guy that kicks the dog. Some days I'm the guy that's the saint. That story always comes up to my mind during Lent, because Lent is a time for self-reflection, a time for returning to what I love, to God's word, returning in faithfulness. We spend the entire year kind of getting out of whack. We get caught up in the things of the world, the atrocities that happen, the disappointments in our lives, and we think ourselves a lowly and miserable wretch. And then we come to Lent, and instead of actually looking at what our life really is, we focus on just another season of being miserable. when in fact it is a season of self-reflection and a time for us to pick up our cross, to go through and jettison those things that are most useless to us, most worthless. The other thing that that story really shows is the potential for every human being. Every single person in the world, all the nations of Abraham, have the same potential. Pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. It's not limited to a racial class, a gender, or anything else. We have become a society that is very good at calculating the seen, the things that we can understand and are on the surface. We jump to conclusions and anticipations because of what we see. And we cause strife and division because of it. But I ask you, when I was talking about the story, when I was talking about the young man who had to make himself feel better by hurting others, what was your first thought? Did you really think he was one that was worthy of a crown? Did you find him to be any kind of saintly being that would have validated him being in heaven? For most people, the answer to that is no. Ultimately, it is not about what we actually do as much as it is about what we try to do. Are you willing to try to look at yourself and address the inconsistencies within you? Are you willing to try to step out and share the gospel with those that you're uncomfortable talking to? See, when we do that, we become that young man's path to salvation. We become an opportunity for them to deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow Christ. In whatever shape or mannerism that may be. That's an important story. And I'm glad to have been told it. And I hope that that's something that you can focus on in Lent. Amen.